blind. You know? He said, any time is the time when God has that available for you. Release. If you're a captive, release. If you're blind, sight. You know? If you can't see, there are other ways of not seeing than just being physically blind. You know? If you've lost your sight, you know, if you've lost your vision, if you can't make sense, if you can't see what's going on, if you can't understand what's going on, Jesus has got sight to share. There are other ways of being prisoner rather than being in jail. You know? There are all sorts of captive people, you know, even within our congregations. You know? Well, there are people who have experienced, you and I maybe have experienced times when we were blind. You know? I once was blind, but now I see. You know? Some of us have been captive, you know, or have been prisoners. And know what all of that means. And Jesus says, today is the day. And not just a certain time of the day. When he says this is the acceptable year, he doesn't just mean it's not a seasonal thing. It's not just when the sunrise is so pretty as it was today. It's on the cloudy days when everything inside of you is cloudy too. For the Jewish people, there were people who were outsiders, and you were an outsider if you weren't Jewish. And by the time Jesus came back from the temptations and opened up the book of Isaiah, he's reading straight from Isaiah. And by the time he read it, there were the people of his synagogue and all the synagogues were sure if you were an outsider, you were also outside God's love. And God wanted you to stay outside his love. Jesus made it clear that day that there's nobody that's outside God's love unless they choose to be. You know? The only person who doesn't have God's love is the person who hasn't received it. You know? And even God loves them still. Like the thing, Rhonda, I've got to have a copy of what you read last week. You know? We're all acceptable to God regardless of how bad we are. You know? The point that qualifies us to being acceptable is to know that we need to be accepted. You know? And that we want to accept God's love. And that his love is for us before we deserve it. God's love is for us before we're worthy. And it's at the moment of desire. It's the moment that we want to. Now, I know some of you, you know. I know some of you, and I know some of you pretty well, you know. And I know some of you, you know, better than you know I know you, yeah? Yeah? And I got some hunches, you know, and I've drawn some conclusions, but then some things are based on pretty strong, you know, feelings, yeah? But not all of us have always been well, you know? Yeah? And some of us still aren't well. And some of us have had experiences in our family. And I've done this with other churches and congregations I've served, you know. If you take, you know, your family, your current family, your extended family, yeah. And if you take your uncles and aunts, you know, some who've gone on, you know, and your grandmas and grandpas, some who've gone on, you know, look at your family history. A while back we had a lady come do this on a Saturday morning thing. We did a family tree, you know, of our family situations, you know, people's situations in life. Most of you, maybe not all of you, but a fair amount of you know what it is to have pain in your life. And a fair amount of you know that you've had family members who know what pain in their life is. Maybe it was, you know, in my case, it was a bunch of my uncles, you know. And I not by first-hand knowledge or not by actually eyewitness, but I know, you know. Maybe all of us, I don't know, but a good number of us know what it is to have family members who are running on empty, you know. You know, it's hard to run a car on empty, isn't it? Yeah. But people seem to be able to try to or pretend to be running on empty. Yeah. And when you're running on empty, it's not a pretty picture. Yeah. When you're running on empty, it's not a Disney movie. Yeah. Yeah. It's not anything, you know, that's pleasant, you know. And Jesus, you know, Jesus came and read that. But Isaiah wrote this scripture. Jesus reading straight from Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote it at a time when Israel was in captivity. And they weren't sure they were ever going back. The enemy took a bunch of them and took them off into captivity. And Isaiah says, the Lord told me. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah is speaking for himself at this point. Because he has chosen me to proclaim that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. It may seem that we're never going to leave this land and go back to our homeland. But he says, this is the acceptable, Jesus said, this is the acceptable year. Isaiah promised release and sight in all of this. And so Jesus picked up on the very same scripture. Yeah. It just seems like we had national Democratic and Republican conventions not long ago, yeah? And we're about to have them again. I think, how could it be 4 years already, yeah? But they're going to have platforms. And this was Jesus' platform right here in Luke. He says, today is the acceptable year of the Lord. And he took the words of Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, some of us are poor at this moment, you know. Some of us know what it is to be poor, you know. Some of us know what it is to be captive, you know. Some of us know what it is to be prisoner. Some of us, it's like we can't even, you know the expression, I can't see straight, you know. Sometimes you just can't see at all. And the good news, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, there's hope. And that's why the church is still here today, because it has done some of what Jesus did. And that's the purpose of the church, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In Christ, there's hope, there's an answer, there is a way out. Even if it's through suffering, you know, there is a way out. This is the acceptable year, which means this is the time that Jesus is ready to accept you. And this is the way, and he's always ready for you to accept him. The doors are open. There's Fanny Crosby at one point in her life before her conversion. Now, somebody told her in all those days that all she had to do was let Jesus know. And finally, she said, the way she said it to Jesus was, the door is open, Jesus. Yeah, the door is open. Yeah. He's just waiting, ready. Got his bags all packed. Yeah. And all we got to do is say, the door is open. Come on in. Yeah. Megan, I want to ask you to play for us, please, and let's spend some time praying, either where you are or at the rail. If you've got a door to open, Jesus would be happy to come in. I invite you to pray where you are or at the rail. Let's pray. think I've ever had anybody complain about the sermon being too short, you know. I don't think I've ever had anybody complain about the service being too short either. You know? I want to share something, because I wouldn't want to cut y'all short at all, you know. I mean, like, you would be really disappointed if I told something to the 8:15 group that I didn't tell to you, right? You'd be just heartbroken, okay? So I got to tell you this. I had a dream a while back. And see, sometimes around here we don't lock all the doors. So whenever you hear about there being a theft at the church, it doesn't necessarily mean there was a break-in. It just means the door was unlocked and they walked right on in. And that happens very often. Usually there's not a break-in. The door's unlocked, you know, so it's a walk-in, okay? So I check the building every now and then late at night, you know? And sometimes there are people around who need places to stay, people who need places to live, yeah? And they know the later they go to the place where they're hoping to sleep, more chance they won't be disturbed, yeah? Well, sometimes I disturb them, yeah? And one night recently, we had five people, you know? I don't know how in the world anybody, I would have to be really tired to sleep on a sidewalk, you know? But when you're really tired, you can sleep on a sidewalk, yeah? And I guess when you're cold, anything's, even the doormats outside are good enough blankets, you know, when you're cold, yeah? And we had two people and their dogs sleeping behind the fence over by the Boy Scout trailer, yeah? And two people sleeping on the sidewalk all the same night. And I'd found a good place, and I was surprised nobody else had ever found it. But recently somebody found it, you know. You get three sides protected if you sleep in the brick room we have underneath the flags, you know. So if any of you ever get thrown out, you know, any of you kids or grandkids ever get thrown out, you know, it's really pretty good. You know, you got protection here underneath the flags, you know. I had a dream recently, and I think the dream woke me up, because I came up to the church and I came in the store, and as I can't remember in the dream if the outside doors were unlocked or not, but I came in the door and all the lights were on and the music was playing, you know, some CDs were playing, you know, and back here at the corner there were six or eight people just sitting back here in the corner all together, yeah? And the dream, I don't know if they were singing or not, but they were sitting there enjoying the warmth, obviously, probably, and the music and the lights were on. Now, in my dream, it ended then, yeah? I don't know if I screamed and hollered at him and threw him out or not, yeah? In the dream, it just ended then, yeah? It's really probably good, because on occasion I probably would scream and holler and throw them out, yeah? So, but, you know, that's the thing, yeah? And some of those people, when they sleep, and there I go, I'm using those words, those people, see? That tells you something right there. Anytime anybody says them or those people, it tells you something right there, yeah? Now, sometimes their sleeping bags are reeking of alcohol the next morning. And sometimes they're wet from the rain. And sometimes they're empty bottles and empty cans. And so that, you know, here's a case where you've got people who are probably poor and also captive. Yeah? Poor and also prisoners. Yeah? Now, some of us know from firsthand experience, if not with ourselves, with family members, what addictions are all about. And I had an ex-husband of a niece, you know, who one night he and his brother were playing pool, and one or both of them were drunk enough that, you know, that Mark killed his brother, yeah? And Mark was just so drunk and high that 3 days later, I've shared this with some of you. 3 days later, he goes to my mom's house in her 80s and says, Mark's not moving. I think something's wrong with him. Yeah? And when your mother at 84 or so has to, and along with your sister, has to go over to an apartment and find out that Mark's brother's, you know, dead because, you know, Mark hit him with a pool stick enough times, you know. And Mark said, yeah, he stinks. Yeah. And then when your mom at 84 or 83 or whatever she is, has to go with your sister to the morgue to identify him, yeah. Yeah. And this guy was never homeless, see. It's a society problem, yeah. And it happens to church people and non-church people, yeah. It happens to Christians and non-Christians. But it's situations like that, you know, Jesus says, you know, release for the captives, you know, recovery of sight for the blind, you know, good news for the poor. We're going to sing the song 310. Let's stand as we sing, I Serve a Risen Savior. May be seated, please. Let us pray. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the glory of his majesty with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power this day and forevermore. Amen. Let's hear the choir.